Good evening. Haven't we had some great classes this summer? There have been a few that really stood out to me and encouraged me. Oh, encouragement. But I really appreciate all the effort and the thought that everybody put into to doing this and to putting these together. Now, I want to remind you of something. I'm not a preacher. And this is not a sermon, okay? So we're gonna participate in this class. It is just a big class, and I want you to get that in your brains right now, because I'm not gonna stand up here and talk for 45 minutes. But if you do speak, please speak out loud so that everybody can hear you. What does it mean to encourage? Build up, okay. Very good. What does it mean to encourage? To go alongside. Very good. Nice. Yeah, Gene. Let people know you care. That is very good. Absolutely. What else, Josh? You make people stronger. That's good. There's some Greek in there, I bet, isn't there? Yeah. What else? Anything else that you want to bring out as far as what does it mean to encourage?
Light a fire.
Light a fire. Okay. Yeah. There are times where you need to light a fire, right? To get somebody going. Anything else? Any other thoughts? Edify. Okay. Good. Noticing? Okay. Right. Notice what they're doing so that they don't think that they're going unnoticed. That's good. Very nice. So to put courage in someone, that's kind of what the definition says. You're putting courage in them. You're building them up. These are things that you've said tonight. You pick up their spirit, their happiness. You help keep them going even stronger than they were before. So the word encourage in the Bible is translated into several different words, depending on which one you have, which translation. It has a very deep meaning, and there's a lot of ways to express it or describe it. Encourage or strengthen. Those are a couple of the options. Comfort. And I don't mean the soft English meaning. It's not like a big soft blanket. That's not the comfort that the word in the Greek means. Does anybody know where that word is used? Comfort, comforter, in describing the Holy Spirit, right? So that's the same word, exhort, or to strongly encourage. That's another way to describe it. So as we go through some of these verses, in your Bible, you may have a different word than I have in my Bible. That's okay. We're going to be talking about the same thing. And because my lesson is titled Encouragement, I used the version for a lot of the verses tonight that had the word encouragement most often, which is the NIV. I don't personally remember the last time I used the word exhort in a conversation. Do you? Maybe you use that a lot. I don't know. So let's look at some scriptures to talk about encouragement. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Paul said, "We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. All right? So let's look at one other verse, and then we'll discuss these. Finally, brothers and sisters, and this is 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Have you ever known someone who really had the gift of encouragement? I know I have. There's people in this room, isn't there, that truly have the gift of encouragement. You can probably think of specific instances in your life where they have had an impact on you. Encouragement is an incredibly important aspect of being part of Christ's church. It's listed among the gifts right alongside prophecy, serving, teaching, leadership, and mercy. So why is encouragement so important to the church? Builds us up, okay? What does that indicate? Okay, that we're built down by something, right? We're torn down and we need to be built up. That's good. What else? Why does the church need encouragement?
Because that's the devil.
All right. We're a target, aren't we? Absolutely. That's good. Very, very good. We're going to talk about that. Yeah, you either become stagnant or you go the other way. That's right. Exactly right. So we always need encouragement. I don't know about you, but I think you do. But I know myself, and I know I always need encouragement. And when I don't get it, I feel it, and it doesn't feel great, does it? We're in an evil and a broken world, and there are always, just as you said, there's always outside forces trying to tear us down, and boy, they're working hard right now, aren't they? I don't know if you watch the news or if you have a social media account. My goodness, there's some tough stuff going on in the world right now. So I need encouragement every day, and I know you do too. What was the first century church dealing with? Persecution, that's right. Almost like prosecution. Persecution. What does that mean? What was happening to them? They were being put to death. They were being stoned. They were being burned alive. They were being, if nothing else, just, you know, they would lose their jobs and be run out of town. That kind of thing. So yeah, they were dealing with some tough stuff. So they needed encouragement, and that's what, you know, Paul, when he writes so many times about encouragement, they needed it really badly right then. We're dealing with not the same things necessarily, but we're dealing with things that require encouragement. A world going farther away from God every day. A world that wants to destroy anything good. We deal with sickness, death, suffering of various kinds. The smaller things, like stress, money issues, maybe your job. Those are all things that are real and they affect you. And we need encouragement because of those things. So be thinking for a minute of examples of encouragement that you have had in your life that have impacted you. Think about that. And I'll give you an example from me, just to kind of start it off. When we first came to Watermill, we were welcomed by so many of you, and we truly appreciate that. But there's something that I specifically remembered that a few people, and I'm not going to name names, because I don't want to leave anybody out or embarrass anybody, but a few people invited us over to their house for a meal. You know, they were probably going to eat anyway, but they invited us over, and that really meant a lot. It's encouraging. And that's just a simple thing that they didn't have to do, but they did, and we appreciated it. So does anybody have an example that you want to share of something encouraging? It doesn't have to be a Watermill, and it doesn't, you don't have to use names, so you don't want to embarrass anybody, but David?
We have a responsibility mm-hmm. as Christians, brothers and sisters, to help each other get to heaven.
Yep, that's right. We do, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, about specifically a specific type of encouragement. That's good, very, very good. Anybody have any examples you want to talk about of encouragement in your life that has impacted you?
Very similarly to what you said when you first came to Watermill. When I first came, the very first day, I was invited to a camp that Travis Morris was having 2 weeks after.
Great. Yeah, I remember hearing about that, and that you, I think you led some songs or something out there. Probably. That's good. Very, very good. Anybody else have any examples? Yes. Yeah. That's right. Just a few words, right? But she meant them. And that's good. Very, very good. Yeah, the smallest things can be encouragement to us. It can really impact us for a long time. Anybody else? David?
We're a church family. Mm-hmm. We need to treat each other like that.
Yes, we do. Absolutely. Maybe better sometimes, huh? Depends on your family, doesn't it? Ron? Yeah, that's good. We're going to talk about that too. Y'all are giving some great examples. Yes?
Our leadership members have been a great deal of encouragement to you and others too, as well.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Excellent. Yeah, the elders, the leadership, wonderful. Yeah. So you get encouragement and you give encouragement too. Yeah. Very, very good. Very good. Yeah, Dustin. Very good. It is encouraging. Wonderful. Because it's, yeah, some of us didn't have that, did we? And, yeah, it's a wonderful blessing. So, what kind of encouragement do we see in the Bible? Let's look at Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to go through some of the things that you said are going to show up in these verses. So I want you to look for them. Philippians chapter 1, verse 14. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? The word encouragement's not in there, but you can feel it, can't you? And what encouraged them in this particular instance, in this particular verse? What drove them to be encouraged? Yeah, Paul in prison. Doesn't that seem like that would be a discourager? But it wasn't, because of how Paul treated it and how Paul talked to them about it and how he said, hey, this is great. I get to preach to all these jailers and all these other prisoners. Man, what an attitude that is. So let's look at Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Paul said, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine." So, in both of these examples, what type of encouragement is this? What is giving the encouragement? Well, What are they seeing that encourages them in both instances? They're seeing faith, that's right, lived out in each other's lives. In Paul's life, and then Paul saying he had been wanting to come to Rome for a long time, but he hadn't been able to yet, and he's saying, I want to get there so that I can be encouraged by you and that you can encourage me as well. So, yeah, encouragement by the way that we live our lives. I mean, as far as encouragement, types of encouragement go, this is the easy one, right? We're supposed to live godly, Christ-like lives anyway. So this should be the easiest one for us. People in the world are watching all the time, and we can either encourage them with our lives or discourage them and turn them away from God. But inwardly, we can encourage each other as well by the way that we live our lives. There was a lady at the church where Lauren and I met, Germantown, Tennessee. Her name was June Bailey, and Lauren remembered her name. I kept calling her Margie, and I don't know why. But last night, we were going to bed, and Lauren was like, June Bailey! And I was like, that's it. She got it. So anyway, June Bailey was this little lady. And you'd see her at church. She was in a wheelchair, an electric wheelchair. And she would roll up to you, and you'd say, Miss June, how are you doing? And she would say, so much better than I deserve. She had very, very, very bad arthritis, to where she couldn't do much of anything. But man, her attitude was just incredible. And just a few words from her could encourage, you know, you had a bad day that day? Well, guess what? Miss Margie, or sorry, still calling her Miss Margie. What's wrong with me? Maybe she should have been called Margie, but Miss June would make you realize, you know, hey, look at all of what I have. And look how she is treating me. She's encouraging me. So that's the kind of thing that it doesn't cost a dime, you know? You can either have a good attitude or you can have a bad attitude. And she chose a good attitude every time. And I don't always do that. And she's a great lesson for me. Have you ever been to a funeral that was an encouragement? And I know that sounds weird. How can a funeral be an encouragement? Okay. So yeah, I mean, by the way she lived her life, right? That's exactly right. Yeah, Ron?
You know, not very far past, we celebrated Bob Stockstill here in this building. that was one of the things that I was really impressed when I left. It wasn't the family and the people that talked. And the doc said, this isn't a sorrowful time for us.
Mm-hmm.
We are absolutely sorrowful. We'll miss our family member, our father, and our brother. But we know we're healing.
Yeah, that's right. So he, yeah. That's exactly right. And that's what we're talking about here, the way that he lived his life. I've been to some funerals that were like that, where they were, you know, you leave it and you think, wow, I want people to think of me that way, you know? So it's a very good encouragement to me to live the kind of life that will happen. Can encouragement ever be a bad thing? Yes. Let's look at Psalm 64:5. It says, they encourage each other in evil plans. They talk about hiding their snares. They say, who will see it? We can sometimes encourage each other in a very bad way by the way we live our lives and by finding other people that will encourage us in that and that will not correct us in that. And so we've got to be very careful that we don't try to find people to encourage us that encourage us in the wrong direction. You need to keep people around you that will call you out once in a while. We can encourage others to be more like us and less like Christ at times, maybe to relieve the guilt we feel for our shortcomings. And the world does that to us constantly, don't they? They're trying to find our imperfections, which we have many, but they're trying to find those and point those out to us so that they can say, you're not as good as you think you are. And that is not a good encouragement. It is not, because of course we're not perfect, but in Christ we are. Justify, exactly, that's right. That's right. Any other comments before we move on? So let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service, in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you and that our labors might have been in vain. So what kind of encouragement do we see here? What were they dealing with in verse 4? Persecution. So they were having a tough time. And Paul, what was he afraid of? Yeah. That Satan had used those persecutions, that tough time, to push them away from God. So, encouragement to make it through difficult times is very important. As humans, we're going to have difficult times. We'll all face death, both of ourselves and our loved ones. We'll face illnesses, financial trouble, persecution of different kinds. But God doesn't expect us to go through those things alone, does he? He's given us the church to be our true family and to hold each other up. 1 Kings chapter 19. Wow, that font. I forgot to change the font on that one. Josh, I learned something from you. There you go. I'm going to read that, but I don't expect you to. Then he was afraid, and he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now. O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree, and behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate, and he drank, and he lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. Do you know who we're talking about here? Elijah. And he was running away from Jezebel. That is exactly right. Elijah, the great prophet that was so strong, right? What did he have here? He had a tough time. And he was losing, I'm not saying he was losing his faith, he was losing his endurance for sure. But what happened? Okay. God came to him, and then what happened? What did God do for him? He talked to him in a whisper, and he fed him. That's right. That's right. That is my kind of encouragement. Baked him a cake. Now see, if you're looking at what your Bible says, if you're in the English Standard Version or the King James Version or the ASV, it's going to say cake. So I prefer that translation myself. If you're reading some of the other ones, it's going to say bread. So, I like the cake better. But it was most likely bread. But how does that apply to us? I mean, if one of God's greatest prophets, whom he didn't even make die, he let him go to heaven without dying, if he could get discouraged to the point where he just says, "Let me die, I'm done, I can't do it anymore," if he could get there, what does that say about us? I can definitely get there. But what does it say about God in these verses? He cares. He cares. And he will also provide. Now, how does he provide for us in the church? Each other. Exactly. He provides us. So sometimes you're going to need that cake, and sometimes you're going to bake that cake. So be ready when the time arises to accept help or to provide it. Acts chapter 9. Whew, back to the font so that I can read again. That's good. Acts chapter 9, 26 and 27. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples. And they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord, who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So who are we talking about here? It's Paul. What did Barnabas do here? Okay. Well, what did he do? He encouraged him, but how did he encourage him? He vouched for him. He stood next to him. He said, hey, this guy has been preaching Jesus over here. You know, you weren't there, but I was there, and he's speaking for him. And this could have gone badly on Barnabas's part, right? I mean, he was really putting himself out there. But he thought, well, this is, Paul's a good guy, and I need to do this. And he really encouraged him by standing next to him in this difficult time that Paul was in. If anybody's ever done that for you, you know how it feels. You know how encouraging that is when somebody really stands with you on something. Any other thoughts on this? Yeah. Absolutely. He stands with us in front of who? God. That's right. Exactly. John 16, verse 33. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So that's Jesus speaking to his followers. And I know that Jesus was talking to the disciples that he was leaving on the earth, but don't you think that applies to us too? Don't you think we have encouragement from Christ? Take heart, he says. He's overcome the world, and that should be one of our greatest encouragements, that, yeah, the world is terrible. It's always been bad. It's still bad. It's bad in different ways now. They're coming up with new flavors of bad every day, but Christ has always overcome all of it. Acts chapter 11. Verses 22 through 24. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad, and he encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. What type of encouragement is this? You mentioned it earlier. It's encouragement to... It's right there. I underlined it. Remain true to the Lord. So Barnabas was encouraging them to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. And that's something that we all need sometimes. So, you know, sometimes we have difficult times. Sometimes we just need to be picked up, but sometimes we need encouragement for our faith. Is it our responsibility to encourage each other to stay faithful? Who said that earlier? Somebody over here specifically said that. Yeah. Yeah. So, is it always easy? Is it ever easy to encourage each other to stay faithful? What does that feel like sometimes? I mean, there's some positive ways to do it, you know, but sometimes it might get a little pointy. That's uncomfortable. 2 Timothy 4:2, David. Here's your verse. Be, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Paul says, correct, rebuke, and encourage. So he's putting that sort of like a package deal, isn't he? And this is the part that is not always fun. If it is fun to you, if correcting, rebuking, and encouraging, if that's fun to you, then don't do it. Let somebody else do it. Because you probably shouldn't be doing it if you enjoy it. It's often painful and unpleasant. You have to say things that are difficult or uncomfortable. But you know, it's easier just to avoid those conversations, isn't it? To just not ruffle the feathers and just, okay, they're doing their thing and I'm just going to do my thing. But that's not what we're called to do. We all need this sometimes. We all need encouragement to remain faithful. It's troublesome and uncomfortable for a fireman to run into a burning house to save a child or a person, isn't it? But they have to do it because that's their job. And as Christians, at times, it's our job to help each other stay faithful. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. Encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. How long is it called today? Forever, right? It's always today. I'll give you a great way to put this one into practice. Look around you. Who's not here? And I'm not talking about because of work or illness or anything else. Who's not here that you miss? I know that every congregation has larger numbers on Sunday morning than they do on Wednesday night or Sunday night, but I'm not willing to give in to the normal numbers. I'm not willing for that. I want to get everybody here, and I want everybody to be here to encourage me, right? Isn't that a bit of a selfish thing? Do you feel encouraged when you come and there are other people here that have the same things in common that you do? I know I do. And you're probably thinking, this is uncomfortable. But guess what? It's in the Bible. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. So how many times have you come to church and been discouraged? It may have happened, I know. There may have been some situation, something like that. But in general, how often do you come to church and leave discouraged? Almost never. I may have a difficult day. And I think, oh, I would just rather go home and go to bed. But if I go to church on a Sunday night or Wednesday night or whenever it is, Sunday morning, I always leave with something that I needed. And I think if we could just remember that when we're trying to encourage someone to come join us, then it would help with our attitude toward that. Any thoughts there before we move on? Yes? Yes.
Not only the first one, but receiving serving. It's also the encouragement of being built up through the act of service.
Absolutely. Yeah, the best way to, if you're kind of feeling down, feeling depressed, that kind of thing, do something for someone else. It doesn't matter what it is, how big or small, do something for someone else, and that'll take your mind off of yourself. So you're right. The encouragement comes in every level there. Any other comments? Romans 15:4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. So sometimes the encourager needs to be encouraged too. And one way that we can be encouraged to stay faithful is by spending more time in God's Word. The next verse says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had. So it talks about there about the Scriptures were written for encouragement, and that God will provide that through those. So that's encouraging to me to know that, you know, if you're, once again, if you're having a tough time, if you need that encouragement, man, get it from God. He is the source. Studies show that about 7% of people are great natural encouragers. That's a hard word, encouragers. So about 7% of people. Are you in that group? Do you feel like you're in that group? I don't. I don't feel like I'm in that group. I'm in the 93. If you're in the 7%, keep doing the good work, please. For the rest of us, we're not off the hook. That doesn't mean we don't have to do it. What can we do about it if that's not our natural gift? Do it. That's right. I mean, the examples that we've talked about tonight, the examples that you brought up, things that you've felt in your life, can you say a few words to somebody? Can you write a card to somebody? Can you... I mean, there's so many ways of doing this, and some of them are harder than others, you know? If you're a really strong encourager, then do the hard ones. But grow in that. Practice that. Gary?
Sometimes we have to encourage ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You do, you just kind of force yourself. Or they say, fake it till you make it. Right? Right. Yeah. Every week there are people leading our services that are not comfortable doing something that they're doing. You know, you guys have all done things, helping people and so forth, that you're not comfortable doing. Do it. Just do it anyway. And encouragement is such a relatively simple thing to do. You know, you can either be negative or you can be positive. You have really two choices. And it's so much easier and better if we're positive. So let's talk about who needs encouragement. Everybody. Absolutely. Ministers. Do ministers need encouragement? Yeah, they do. David?
Our young people.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Very good. Yes, ma'am. That's right. Yeah. That's right. And that's a very good point, that we need to make sure that we're not just encouraging the people that it's comfortable to encourage for us. Not the people we always talk to and that we converse with. Reach outside of your group. And I'm as bad as anybody about that. So encourage me to do better at that, all right? Teachers, right? We have teachers. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about all the teachers in this church that teach all the children, the youth, the adult classes, the ladies' classes. Encourage them. That's not easy. There's a lot of work that goes into that. And so they need our encouragement. Song leaders, man, they need our encouragement because it's tough. It's tough to be a song leader because I've done it and I've had to do that. And they're holding up, you know, such a happy, strong part of our service. That's a big job. So encourage them every time you can. Elders. That's a great group of people to encourage because they deal with a lot of weighty matters that we can't know about. Deacons, they're doing work that a lot of people may not even know about, and that's okay. But encourage them in their various works and ask maybe how you can help them. Absolutely. The wives, and I'm getting to that. But absolutely, you know, ministers' wives, elders' wives, deacons' wives, song leaders' wives. Wait. But that's true, because they have to sit by themselves sometimes. But yeah, there's just the support there. That's a lot. And you've been there, Shirley, so thank you. Your brother or sister who's sitting next to you, you don't have any idea what they may be dealing with. Maybe you do. Maybe you're really good friends with them and you know. But somebody that you're sitting next to at church, you may not have any idea the things that they're going through or thinking about or, you know, their health issues, their family, their job, whatever. Encourage them. Find ways to encourage your brothers and sisters. And here's a good one. Find somebody you may not either be as close to or that you may not get along with as well. Find something positive about them to encourage. That can change the way that you see them and end up encouraging you in your relationship with them as well. Your spouse and your children. We need to encourage our families. We don't need to just look externally to our families and just into the body. We need to look at our families as well. And sometimes we fail to do that, to encourage those that are closest to us. Hopefully this has been encouraging for you tonight. Hopefully we can pull that 7% up closer to 100%. I don't know that we can get there, but if we try, right, we can get a lot closer. Hopefully it's been encouraging to you tonight. It was encouraging to me to put this lesson together, just to think about all the areas of improvement that I have, and I hope you can find some as well for your life. Any other thoughts before we finish tonight?
Thanks, John.
Thank you, Carrie. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. That's right. That's right. It's kind of like Miss June, my or Margie, as I call her. That's exactly right. All right. Would you pray with me real quick? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for the encouragement that you provide through the Scriptures, through your Spirit, and also through each other. Help us to find opportunities to encourage each other. The world is going through a lot right now. Watermill is going through a lot. Help us to find ways to encourage each other and stay positive and build up the body here at Watermill. Thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.